Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Wounds do happen, and we are human. And so what do? We have to go to the cross daily and say, God, that person has hurt me. They are the definition of an enemy. And I'm ticked, and I don't want to let it go. And God's going, I understand, but I want you to grow up. And you're not gonna be able to do that until you let it go.
When you've been hurt by someone, especially when they purposefully caused you harm, forgiveness can be really hard. It's your right to be angry. They deserve to suffer in proportion to the suffering they caused you. That may be, but God calls you to something better. He calls you to forgiveness and restoration. Jesus demonstrated the humility you'll need when he died on the cross. And as Pastor Michael will remind us in today's message, that sacrificial love should characterize our lives as believers. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 with today's edition of Burning Hearts.
Therefore, other people have said this, I'm going to say it too. Whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, you should always find out what it is there for. So when he starts out a passage with the word therefore, he is linking what you're about to read to what he has just said. Does that make sense? So what has he just said? Well, he ended chapter 1 talking about the grass can wither, the flower can fall, but the word of God is going to stand forever and ever. He talks about it being living. He talks about it being enduring. It is the thing that causes us to be born again. It's that imperishable seed, not the perishable seed. So that's the context. And so when he says, therefore, whatever he's about to drop on us, it's because he just taught us that God's word is where it's at. And it's the only thing that's going to bring life and endure forever and ever. So he says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Okay, let's stop here. Therefore, if God's word is alive, if God's word is the thing that's going to bring new life to people, and we all believe that it is, right? If that's the case, when you read it, when you approach it, we want it to affect the way that we're living, right? We don't want to just read it to have our little devotion and get our little check mark for the day. I want it to impact me. Like, God, I may run into somebody that I don't even know who I'm going to run into today. I need your word to prepare me for that encounter that I'm going to have that you know I'm going to have. So I need your word to impact me. If I'm going to approach God's word as living and enduring, and it's going to impact me, I have to lay aside certain attitudes in my heart. And he describes them in verse 1. I cannot have these things, call myself a Christian, bury these things in my mind and in my heart, and then approach God's word and think it's going to do jack for me. Does that make sense? There's no way. So the first thing he says is malice. Well, what's malice is it's a hatred for somebody. It's literally wishing them bodily harm. Now, here's the deal. None of us probably would admit it to each other. Like, there's a few people on my list. I got a list of people I'd like to do bodily harm to. You know, Craig is on my list. No, but you know what I mean? It's like, we would never say we want to really do bodily harm. But remember, if you hate someone, you're guilty of murder. What? So if there's someone in my life, like right now, who's on your hate list? Okay? Who's on your hate list? Just think about it. Okay, and you say, well, I don't have a hate list. I would never write those things down. I know you would never write it down. But when I say that, who comes to your mind? And whoever that is, dude, if you don't let it go and forgive them, then I'm telling you, you can approach God's word as much as you want. And I'm telling you, it's not going to accomplish what it could accomplish. So Paul's like, listen, God's word's living. It's awesome. Therefore, you got to get rid of this stuff. And he's about to talk about how we should crave God's word, like milk and things. So You can't have that hatred in your heart. You guys with me? Okay. And then the next thing is deceit or guile. That kind of goes with the next word, which is hypocrisy. We know hypocrisy is the Greek word hypokrisia. It's a word that's used in acting. In Athens, they would put on these big plays and they would have stages and they would, you know, do the Iliad and the Odyssey or whatever. And they would, actors would come out on stage and they would have these big sticks with a big mask of a happy face or a sad face. And they would, the actors would hold that in front of them and they would dance around and do their parts or they would wear a mask. Hypocrisia, wearing a mask. It's hiding behind a feigned identity or a fake identity. Okay. So when we call someone a hypocrite today, we're saying, dude, you wear a mask like you're goody-goody, like you're a Christian, but the truth is your heart is far from that. Does that make sense? So again, Peter's just saying, you want to get something out of God's word, right? Well, dude, you're going to have to be authentic. You're going to have to be genuine. You can't be hiding behind something that you're really not. Because I promise you, dude, you can come to any church. It can be the greatest preacher in the world. And you can listen to that. You will not, the word will not have its desired effect on you until you put these things to the side. Being fake, being hateful or envious, obviously that's a jealousy. And then all slander, that word slander, I looked it up. The actual word in the Greek, one of its definitions is spicy gossip. Isn't that funny? Like, not just gossip, that's bad. But dude, when you're spicy gossip about somebody, and you know what that is, right? Because that's the best kind. So obviously, as Christians, man, we can't be doing that in the church. There's so much in God's word about unity and loving one another and all that kind of stuff. Man, when we start backbiting, and get involved in the spicy stuff. The point is, I don't know if we're going to be able to get out of God's word when I'm hiding those things in my heart. And the problem with it, to be honest with you, and we all know this, is that people hurt us. Wounds do happen, and we are human. And so what do? We have to go to the cross daily and say, God, that person has hurt me. They are the definition of an enemy. And I'm ticked, and I don't want to let it go. And God's going, I understand, but I want you to grow up. And you're not going to be able to do that until you let it go. Amen? Okay, so like newborn infants desire the pure milk of the word. That's still the context here. It's God's word. So that you may grow up into your salvation. I like that. The word desire there in the, like newborn infants desire the pure milk of the word. It's a very strong word. Like you don't get stronger than that. And it is in my Bible here, right next to it, I have Psalm 42:1, which is so interesting that you chose that song. Because Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. And that's the idea of that desire. It's like, God, I mean, some deer goes, you know, chucking around in the mountains and he's thirsty all day and he finally sees the stream and he goes running down to the stream and he's just like, I gotta have that water. I gotta have that water. I gotta have that water. That's what my soul is doing, dude. I just want to be with you, God. Like, I gotta have you in my life, your presence, right? Your word. He says, desire the pure milk of the word. Like that strong, like I've got to have the word. How do I go a day without reading it? How do I go a day without applying it? It's God's word. Desire it like that, the pure milk. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first three verses, Paul, actually, I'm just going to read them to you. I'll find it. 1 Corinthians is after Genesis. Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. There it is, chapter 3. He says, for my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. So this is Paul talking to the Corinthian church, okay? And the reason I'm bringing this up to you is because Peter says, I want you to crave God's word, like the pure milk of God's word. You got to crave it. But my mind, when I read that, I was thinking of what Paul says here, because he kind of seems like he comes down on people for only craving milk. And that's what he's reading here. So let me read it. He says, part brother says, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready, because you're still worldly. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not worldly and behaving like mere humans? Can you imagine if you came to church on a Sunday and there's like 1,500 people in the church and the pastor just stood up and just read those verses and then said, see ya, goodbye, and left. Like, you know, I was going to give you this, but you're all a bunch of stinking babies. You're acting like a bunch of worldly, fleshly creeps. And so I'm not giving you, can you imagine? Like, amen, let's just close in prayer. You know, people would be like, what? That's what Paul's saying here. Is he saying it's wrong to crave milk? No, he's not. He's just saying that's all I could give you. You guys were at a place where you should have been mature enough that you were getting meatier things. But I just had to keep dropping the basics of the gospel on you. You know, Jesus died for your sins. Jesus loves you. He came back to life. You know, some of the basics of the gospel. It's good stuff. We should crave that stuff. Absolutely. But you got to grow up at a point too. And so, listen, I don't ever want to be a man who doesn't love the story of the cross that I learned in kindergarten. That is still the greatest. The milk of the word is still the best. But I also need to be a person who is able to dig a little bit deeper and apply the things that are a little bit tougher to my own heart and life. Amen? All right. Verse 3, he says, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay, so we've heard this before. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, if you've tasted that the word if there really could also be translated since. So since you, in other words, you guys are believers and you have tasted that the Lord's good. I believe we should crave the milk of God's word for many reasons. But one of the reasons is that reason right there. When you read God's word, you get reminded of how good God is. You get reminded of the stuff God did, of the stuff God has said. And so as you're reminded of those things, you're tasting God and you're going, he's good. Like, I forgot. I was so caught up at work today and in my own garbage that I forgot that God was good. So to get into the pure milk of the word, it reminds me, I taste and see. Verse 4, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God. Jesus is the living stone. Jesus is the cornerstone. As a matter of fact, he would call himself the stone in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is what the Lord has done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. He's calling himself the cornerstone. Down in verse 44, he says this, whoever falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. What? But on whomever it falls, it will shatter him. You ever read that before? That's an interesting verse. Jesus, I'm the cornerstone. I am the cornerstone. People have rejected me and everything, but I'm the cornerstone. We all know that. I'm the living stone, Peter says. But here he says, people that fall on the stone are going to be broken to pieces. And if the stone falls on them, they're going to be broken. What is he talking about here? I believe that he's saying when we humble ourselves and in brokenness fall on Jesus Christ, the living stone, we find life. We find salvation when we fall on him. If we reject the living stone, he one day is going to fall on us. It's called the second coming, the judgment seat. And there's going to be a judgment. And it's going to crush those that reject him. You guys with me? So we can choose to fall on the stone and be broken now, or you can choose to have the stone fall on you later. Verse 5, you yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So he says, you yourselves are living stones. We know Jesus is the living stone. But you yourselves are living stones. Very, very interesting. And I talked about this 2 weeks ago, but some of you weren't there. And I'm going to say it again because I think it's really, really important. Our Catholic brothers and sisters teach that Peter, who wrote this, is the very first pope. Okay? They believe that. And they have some reasons why they believe that. Out of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples were like, "Ah, some people think you're Elijah. Some people think you're John the Baptist. You know, come back," or whatever. And Jesus is like, "Okay, but who do you guys say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus is like, "Whoa! The big bumbling fisherman. What? Flesh and blood didn't reveal to you to that. That was from my Father. Like, that is awesome. You're exactly right. And now your name's not Simon. Your name is Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church." So Peter means rock. So the Catholics interpret that whole vignette that I just told you. They interpret that when Jesus said, "Your name is Rock, I'm going to call you Rocky. And from now on, Rocky, I'm building my church on you." And they're like, this is where the church began, right here, the first pope, Peter, okay? Horrible misjudgment of Scripture, I believe. And so now we've been looking at man, and we have a man, we got to kiss his ring, and he comes by in the Pope Mobile, and they sell, you know, the Pope soap on a rope or whatever. I mean, I made that last part up. But anyway, it's been horrible, because I believe what Jesus was saying is the rock statement that you just made, that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that's what the church is going to be built on. The statement that you just made, bro. That's it. Does that make sense? You, Peter, are a rock. You are a little stone. Does that make sense? But you're not the stone. And so right here in 1 Peter, he's reminding everybody, who's the living stone? It ain't me. Don't look to me. I'm not the stone. Jesus is the stone. But we're all little stones, living stones. God's stacking up and he's building his temple. There's a lot of temple language here that we could spend a month just talking about the Old Testament tabernacle and temple and some of the language that's used in chapter 2 here. It's very beautiful, but let me just sum it all up and say this. When we gather together, we are the temple of God. We are. So we can gather together at Taco Bell. We can gather together in a beautiful little chapel like this. We can gather together at the top of the mountain at Lift 7. We can gather together on your boat. It doesn't matter. Church happens there. When he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that is the center of everything. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Oh, and he says this, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What are the spiritual sacrifices when we get together we're supposed to be offering? Now, we know in the old temple, they would offer like legitimate sacrifice. Like if you were poor, you could use birds. But if you had more money, you might bring a bull to the table, okay? So I love how God is gracious enough to even poor people, 2 cents, you can get a bird and you can offer sacrifice for your sins. I love that, by the way, in Leviticus. But anyway, besides that, what do we do today, man? We're not bringing sacrifices to church. Well, maybe it's the tithe. He's talking about offering. Maybe. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, I think. Yeah. Listen to this, verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Verse 16, don't neglect to do what's good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. So what are the sacrifices when we come together? We praise him. We praise him. We confess him. It's the fruit of our lips. We confess the name of Jesus. Amen? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We don't talk about others. We may mention other people in illustrations, you know, but if you leave here thinking more about Michael than you did about Jesus, then I have failed. Does that make sense? The spotlight should always be on him. We confess his name. We praise his name. And then verse 16 says, don't neglect to do what's good and to share. I think that's verbally sharing with the gospel. How do we offer a sacrifice to God? Just do something good. Share with people. I believe that that just comes with having Christ in us, that we want to share, we want to do good. That is how we offer sacrifice to the Lord. We care for people. We share with people. We praise his name. We confess the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's keep going. Verse 6, for it stands in scripture. Now he's going to quote Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. He says, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and honored cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. So honor will come to you who believe, but for the unbelieving, the stone that the builders rejected, this one has become the cornerstone and a stone to stumble over and a rock to trip over. So again, there's the stone coming down on people. I'm just going to say this. He's reiterating Jesus is the stone, okay? He's the stone. We could talk a lot about that, but let me say this. There is a very popular belief, and I do address it quite a bit, that because Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, that everybody from that point on goes to heaven. It doesn't matter what you believe, what you live. It does not matter. If you're born after the cross, everybody goes to heaven. That is a demonic doctrine. As I believe this is a heretical doctrine. And when I read scriptures like this, if you believe, you get such and such. If you don't believe, you get such and such. Does that make sense? Listen, God's grace is awesome that he gave us Jesus. Gang, you have to confess it. You have to believe it. You have to accept it. It is a free gift. You've got to open the present. I believe this strongly. And wouldn't it be just like the enemy of God to spread a message that, go ahead, live like hell. Believe whatever you want to believe. We all go to heaven anyway. Wouldn't that be just like Satan? Yes. Is he called the father of lies? Yes. Listen, be very careful. When I read stuff like this, man, it's obvious that some people can reject the stone. So in verse 8 ended with, they stumble because they disobey the word. They were destined for this. They disobey the word. I don't know about you. It sounds like we're supposed to obey the word here. I mean, you don't need some Bible teacher to tell you that. You know, the reason people stumble today, the reason they fall is because they are disobedient to the word of God. All right, let's keep going. Verse 9. This is a very famous verse. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. What a great verse. We are in Christ all of those things. Number one, a chosen race. Remember, Peter is writing to Jewish people who have been persecuted by Nero, and they have split the scene. They have gone, look at verse 1 or verse 2 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter, all the different cities in the Roman Empire, they had to disperse, okay? Why? Because they were threatened for their life. So Peter's writing to these people who've dispersed. They didn't have a nation anymore. They weren't the nation of Israel. They had been, it's called the diaspora, but they totally get, Israel did not become a nation until, I think it was May 14th, 1948. Very awesome day in the history of the world when America went to bat. It's an awesome story. Anyway, Israel decided that day they would become a nation and America backed them. And it's a big deal. But they, for many, I mean, almost two millennia, they were not a nation. And so here, Peter's writing to these people who don't have a nation. And he says, by the way, you are a chosen race, a holy nation.
Suffering is part of living life in this broken world. It's true for everyone. At some point, all of us will face some kind of hardship. Those who believe in Jesus aren't exempt from pain. That's made clear in God's word. But the Apostle Peter has been teaching you through his first letter that there's a different way to react when the stress of life takes hold of you. You don't have to crumble, and you don't have to retaliate. Take comfort in the knowledge that God knows exactly what's going on, and he's there with you. He's your strength when you think you can't hang on any longer, and the hope you hold on to when everything seems lost. Have faith in your Creator. He will come through for you, as He's done throughout history. Are you facing a trial today? If so, we here at Burning Hearts would be honored to lift you up in prayer. Please submit your prayer requests online through our contact page at thealpinechapel.com. We'll get in touch with you as soon as we can. If you're in the Telluride area, come join us this weekend for worship at the Alpine Chapel. We're located a half block off the main drag in Telluride and just a block away from the gondola. Join us for a time of worship and studying the Bible on Saturday at 6 p.m. or Sunday morning at 9. For more information, just visit thealpinechapel.com. While you're there, you'll also be able to check out more of Pastor Michael's teachings from this series in 1 Peter. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. That's all we have time for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Burning Hearts.